Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL. Gardner Minshew does not have the COVID, by the way. He was just around someone who did. He's actually tested positive. He has tested negative. So right. Gardner Minshew going to be ready to go. We'll hear from him tomorrow, the best of. But here's just a little taste of Gardner Minshew, the legend. God, I love this guy. He was on a Zoom call, and I guess someone had a dog in the background.
Yeah.
When the dog started barking. Mm-hmm. So Gardner Minshew, like any normal person would do, mm-hmm. started barking back at the dog. Here's a little taste of the starting quarterback for the Jacksonville Jags, who does not have the COVID.
All right. D-Rock, and then Mark Long. And
Gardner, he's got the dog in the background, man.
That was a pretty damn good bark.
It was again. I didn't know if that was the real one or him. Got a little, go ahead.
All right, D-Rock, and then Mark Long. And
Gardner, he's got the dog in the background, man.
Does he have a little Biagini in him?
No, he's actually funny.
I was just going to say.
He's actually cool.
I was just going to say.
He's cool.
Not only is he.
I want to hang out with Gardner Minshew. Biagini, I don't even want to be. I don't even like being in the same city as him.
I didn't want to live in Houston when he's here. What I was going to say is not only is his material a little better, but he's actually been good. You know, he's actually done stuff, which matters a lot.
And he's funny.
Yeah.
Listen to that bark.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
You're not
wrong. Biagini for the Astros. No. No, thank you. Gosh. I'd rather see the rat downtown than that. Good Lord, I can't stand Biagini. Why'd you even have to bring that up?
I don't know.
LeSean McCoy and Tre'Davious White, formerly of the Buffalo Bills, LeSean McCoy. We're talking about the incident when Vontae Davis retired during the
halftime
of the game. Not.
I had heard this story.
At halftime of the game, Vontae Davis just flat out quit playing football. And we heard about it, and we thought maybe there was more to the story. So, you know, how did this go down? Well, McCoy and Tre'Davious White were on Zoom telling stories, and they told the story of...
Instagram Live.
On Instagram Live, they told the story of how Vontae Davis retired mid-game.
He said, Shady, I'm out there, Shady, and you Shady McCoy, you can't call a dime. It's time to go. It's a young man's game.
Yeah, that's how he talk.
Hey, my dog Vontae said, "Nah, man. Hey, well, he told me on the side. We came like a three and out. He had just made like a big stop on third down. He had put his fist up, got the crowd pumping and everything. So we got to the sideline. You know what I mean, offense going. So we about to punt. Coach was like, y'all get ready. He's like, yeah, I'm done, young boy. I was like, hold on. He was like, yeah, this my last go round. I looked to him. I was like, "What you mean? Like this your last? This gonna be your last year?" He was like, "Nah, this gonna be my last game. I'm done, man." He said, "Say that boy. Say, but they said, I'm done, young Trey, man. Y'all boy, God, this is young man's game, man. I just ain't got it no more."
Yo,
man. Hey, I'm thinking the whole time, like, why the would you go through OTAs and camp and you gonna do this?
Yo, yeah. I heard he told Coach. He said, "Yeah, I'm done, man. I'm done." Coach said, "Wait, all right, you done this serious? All right, just come and let's see." He said, "No, Coach,
I'm done. I mean, I'm finished. I'm finished.
Hey, look, my dog started taking his tape off. You know, he wore the wrist tape off.
Oh, yeah.
He took it off. He started taking it off.
He just flat out quit that in the middle of the game.
He retired, Landry.
In the middle of a game.
He retired. It was like, okay, you can't criticize him and praise Mike Tyson. Because Mike Tyson did pretty much the same thing as that, man. I'm out. It's just not in me anymore. I guess that's what it takes. I interviewed Vontae Davis once at the Super Bowl a few years ago.
Do you really want to go out like that, though?
Does he really sound like a sack? They said he made a bit stop.
Yeah, or a tackle for loss.
Does he
or
really
something?
Sound like that? Pull up Vontae Davis. I was just going to tell you. I want to hear Vontae Davis.
No, me interviewing him might be in there somewhere. But no, I've interviewed him, and I was just going to say that's about how he sounds. This is such a funny story, and to have these
tell
guys
tell me a story, OG.
But to have these guys like doing the impressions and everything. I mean, I could see him doing that. He made over.
Oh, there's a video of him getting traded. I wonder what he was like when he got traded.
He made more than $50 million playing, made a big tackle for loss or a sack, I forget what it was, and said, "I'm out. I'm done. Leave him wanting more. Leave on a high note." And he did. That was hilarious.
Here is Vontae Davis. I guess the 2012 edition of Hard Knocks, he actually got traded. Let's hear Vontae Davis and if he really sounds like Shady McCoy and his former teammates said he sounds like.
Okay, so the rumor is true. Okay, we just traded you. Okay, we traded you to the Indianapolis Colts. All right?
Wait for it.
So, you okay?
Nah, I'm going to call my grandmother.
Call your grandmother? Okay, this hasn't hit the papers or anything like that. Okay, well... Why don't we do a little business first, okay? Before you call grandma, okay? There's a little bit of urgency because you got a storm coming. They probably want to get you on a plane here pretty quickly.
Okay.
Now listen, you know, Vontae, you kind of up and down. You know, we got to get it to where it's just a little small wave where the consistency level is more consistent. And before you become a great, which I think you have the ability to be, you got these waves got to be a lot smaller. Okay, and that's probably why you're being traded. You know, I'm just being transparent with you. I want you to know why it hasn't worked for us here. I think the world of you as a person, and I appreciate you busting your ass here as Miami Dolphin the last 3 years. I know you'll do well. Thanks. I know you'll do well. Okay.
So who y'all trade me for?
Well, a couple picks.
God.
All right,
pal.
All right, thank you.
He looks so sad.
He said, "I got to call my grandma."
Well, of course, he had a really good career, man. I mean, there is a little bit of irony in him getting traded there from Miami. That was in 2011, I believe. Less than 2 years later, the Dolphins traded back for him. They got him back. They got him back, and he made, like I said, $51 million in salary. Dude's got nothing to be ashamed about. Left in the middle of the game. It's such a great story, man.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at Radio.com/Dell.
All right. This is from Mark Berman. Initial diagnosis for Astros closer Roberto Osuna. You said he was going to be out for the season yesterday, John.
Yeah.
Using common sense. Is that he needs to undergo season-ending Tommy John surgery. However, Osuna is getting a second opinion. If the initial diagnosis is accurate, it would be a huge loss for the Astros. No kidding, Berman.
Yeah, no kidding.
This would be a second Tommy John.
I was just going to say that. We're on the same vibe. This is a big, big one for him on a personal level. Forget the Astros for a second. We know how it affects the Astros. I was worried about this when I saw him look at his forearm. You immediately think elbow, just like you did with Justin Verlander. Can you survive? Has anybody survived two Tommy Johns? I'm sure someone has somewhere along the line. But it's on the same elbow. you know, because he had Tommy John surgery, obviously, on his throwing arm, and here he goes again. That's huge on hit for him on a personal level regarding his career. And, man, certainly for the Astros.
I just can't help but think, and I don't want to. It's weird that this guy wasn't ready. He went from not being ready a few days before the start of the season to pitching in the second game of the season to pitching multiple innings against the Dodgers to hurting his forearm. And this before he came into camp reportedly out of shape and not even throwing off of a mound. It just seems very, very, very ironic. I think this is ironic, assuming that that has nothing to do with it. I know you hate the song Ironic by Alanis Morissette because most of the stuff she says is not ironic.
All of the stuff she says.
But if Roberto Osuna, like if I'm to believe that him being on the mound as soon as he was has nothing to do with this injury, it's at the very least ironic that a few days before that they were saying that he wasn't ready to go, and then all of a sudden he's throwing multiple high-stress innings. I know he only threw 8 pitches in one of them. In the second game of the season, that would be extremely ironic to me. It's hard for me not to at least think that maybe he rushed back.
I wouldn't be surprised if lawyers get involved.
Lawyers?
You know, depending. Now, I know the.
You want to sue Dusty?
Or the Astros via Dusty or whatever. I know their contracts are fully guaranteed, especially for injury. That's not what I'm talking about. Future earnings, things like that. And it all depends on their interpretation of how Osuna being rushed back happened, if it was him on his own or he was persuaded to, et cetera. And that's an aside to the big story here that he's having it. And then the secondary story for me is what a waste. What a waste. Missed, what, 3 seasons or 2 seasons plus because he had a suspension. Then, of course, you know, misses a bunch of games in another year because of the domestic battery. And now he's here, and he's going to miss perhaps the rest of his career.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to come back from 2 Tommy Johns. I mean, we hyped up Lance McCullers for coming back from 1. Now Roberto Osuna, if you're just tuning in, according to the great Mark Berman, Roberto Osuna, initial thoughts are that he needs Tommy John surgery. His year will be over. The one thing about this Astros team, and we'll have postgame tonight at 8:10. We'll get more into this as well as what actually happens the game tonight. The thing about this Astros team is, you know, the bullpen, obviously the youth of the bullpen is something that we've talked about for a while. We've talked about how hard it is, but the goal basically for the bullpen early on was to get to the 8th and get to the 9th for Ryan Pressly and Roberto Osuna. Now all of a sudden that roller coaster ride is going all the way through. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an uphill, downhill battle for this bullpen. There's no more crews. There's no more straight tracks for this bullpen because you don't have your closer. Ryan Pressly's trying to figure stuff out. And, oh, by the way, let me just say this. If Ryan Pressly's not 100% ready to go,
exactly,
take your damn time, okay, because you can't rush Ryan Pressly back. That's some bad news for the Astros. The bullpen was already unpredictable, and it was already a joyride. To say the very least, that increases more. If you're just tuning in, Roberto Osuna likely out for the season. Tommy John surgery for the Astros closer. My gosh, what a kick to the junk. Philip Rivers of the Indianapolis Colts. He's already annoying his teammates via cell phone. Or is he? We'll ask John Lopez, and there's 2 real-world examples of kids using their phones. I want to see what the OG thinks about this. OG wisdom. Courtesy of the newest quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts and a couple of youngsters next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Philip Rivers, new quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, already annoying his offensive linemen. Or is he?
And me a little bit.
John Lopez is annoyed by something Philip Rivers does. I don't think it annoys me as much as it does J-Lo.
I wonder why.
But state your case, John. Why is Philip Rivers, the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, formerly of the Chargers, annoying you so much?
I'm a Philip Rivers fan. I've been at the front of the train regarding don't downplay how big he's going to be for the Colts this year. I think Philip Rivers still got some left in the tank. And the Colts, because of Rivers and that defense, are going to be a big, and that offensive line are going to be a big problem. However, I came across a story. I guess Anthony Costanzo had a Zoom meeting, which a lot of players are. We saw Gardner Minshew. We played Whitney Merciless earlier, as well as Randall Cobb earlier. And you can see those on hear those on sportsradio610.com, and I'm sure we'll revisit. But apparently Anthony Costanzo had a virtual meeting, and he was talking about how awesome it was to play with Philip Rivers. He's talking about how nobody loves football that he's ever met. Nobody loves football more than Philip Rivers, how Philip's, you know, kind of giving them all these motivational messages every chance he gets. And then he went into how apparently Rivers, rather than texting the linemen, he has a group text with the offensive linemen, okay? Rather than texting them, he does the voice text where you record your voice and send that as a text message.
That's okay. I've been known to do that every once in a while.
He said between 3 and 5 times a week, they get these voice text messages from Philip Rivers that are like 2 and 3 minutes long. I'm like, I can promise you, after the first one, maybe the first couple, those linemen aren't listening to those messages all the way through. Ain't no way. They're listening to the first 10, 15 seconds like, oh, God, here goes Philip again, holding down that microphone button and giving us voice text messages. That's not a good play.
You're not okay with the voice? I feel like it's good. It's like a message for people to follow. You're not okay with that?
The actual voice of the person on a group text. So in other words, they all open it up and they all hear, hey, this is Philip. I just want you guys to stay focused today, all right? Every rep matters. Let's get it done. I'm going to be your quarterback this year. We're going to have a great, great year. I'm telling you guys, call me, text me. This is Philip. Did I mention this is Philip? This is Philip. Let's get this thing going. You guys are going to block for me. I'm going to deliver for you.
It's thoughtful.
For 2 and 3 minutes?
It's
you know
thoughtful.
How long? You know how hard it is to talk for 2 or 3 minutes straight on a text message to your group text, your offensive lineman, 4 and 5 times a week?
It's thoughtful.
Maybe once it's thoughtful.
Thoughtful. I have no problem with it.
The only reason you have no problem with it is because you do it.
Sometimes. Been known to send a long text.
Figgy, how are you on the voice text message?
I'm cool with it because sometimes it'd be a lot to text.
But what if I send you 3, 4, 5 a week, about 2 or 3 minutes long?
Nah, that's a little too much. That's a little too much.
A little too much.
So Philip Rivers annoying with the phone.
Love you, Philip, but a little bit.
OG wisdom continuing. We got two other examples of stuff people do with their phones. And I cannot wait for your opinion on this. Texas Roadhouse is trending on Twitter.
Like me some Texas Roadhouse.
And I decided to check out why Texas Roadhouse was trending.
Mm-hmm.
It's trending because a couple of young people, a young man and a young woman, they went on a date and they were doing different things on social media on this date. Apparently, they both had different
ideas. Was it a first date?
Ideas. It was a first date because the young man tweeted out or put a picture out in his on his story, a picture of the woman sitting across the booth.
What's up, Izzo?
And he said, our first date, I'm so nervous.
Well, that's it. That's touching.
It's touching.
That's nice.
However, the young lady who he was on the date with.
During the same date. How you doing, Yane?
Put out a picture of him that read, just finesse this lame ass bleep for some Texas Roadhouse. 3 laughing emojis. Hashtag City Girls Up 1000.
Now,
where do you stand on the actions of these two youngsters with the phone?
Izzo, I got your back. You're just excited. It's a girl you clearly wanted to date. She played you, and I'm sorry for that. Hat tip. Yane, you are a miserable person. For a woman to, quote, finesse this lame-ass bleep for some Texas Roadhouse, you know, she didn't quite do the deed, but she's in the same ballpark as kind of giving it away for money. It's in the neighborhood. It's not the house, but it's in the neighborhood.
What a terrible look for her.
Horrible person.
Who sits there and co-signs that? And this is the other problem. It didn't stop there. And I don't know if you're going to stand up for my man Izzo after this, but apparently when they were in the car on the way there, by the way, Izzo wore a wife beater on the first date.
That wasn't the best look.
Yeah, that was awful. That's not it.
He should have been finessed.
Yeah. Not a good thing.
Well, no, don't go that far, Figgy.
Nah, man.
But here's him singing in the car, and she apparently recorded it and said this lame ass bleep actually thought I was impressed.
She's playing along. She's a horrible person. Just using her goodies to get a meal.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived.
Thank you, Steven.
So there we go. So we got Philip Rivers annoying the OG with his phone. We got that woman looking like a slime ball. I want you to tell me about this. This is someone on Facebook. Someone sent me this.
Okay.
On Facebook. Someone made a status, and I want you to tell me if this is what you think of this as far as people acting a fool on their phone. So this is a guy who's probably about 40 years old. Keep that in mind. This ain't some 22-year-old kid. This is a guy who's about 40 years old.
Okay.
Who I guess got stood up and decided that he was going to go on Facebook and let the whole world know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I won't give away his name.
Okay.
Here's his Facebook status. So this is something I've never done, but you all have been in my shoes tonight, and I definitely need to do this. Maybe if people can be okay looking this vulnerable, then others won't ghost or stand up.
So what's going on? We're getting there?
I had a gathering planned with a girl I traveled to see back in my hometown. We'd been talking and planning for weeks. She'd even posted on her page about me being in town.
Okay.
Made a reservation at a restaurant that also happens to be one of the most popular in the town. Her friends bailed. Then we're back in. Supposed to meet hours ago, but never showed. Now sitting here, the most embarrassed and ashamed I have ever been. Eating alone, which I've done forever, but never feeling like this. He then posted a screenshot of 8 pages of their text messages back and forth, planning it, and then him texting her about her standing him up. Yes, he said her name at the end. Thanks, April.
See, I don't know. I don't know how you feel about this one, Figgy. It stinks to get stood up. Probably not.
I've never been stood up.
I don't think I have. I don't remember.
Stood up like that?
But stood up like that's going to stink.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to stink.
The other thing is, are you really that embarrassed if you're telling your all your Facebook friends
about
it?
He's just mad. Yeah, that was an angry tweet.
And then he also says, I'm sure most people can relate to this. No, they can't. I'm telling you right now, if I get on a plane and go to another city to see a girl, she's not standing me up.
Yeah.
That's not even, I mean, that's just, that's a you thing.
Yeah.
That's a you thing. It's like guys who, and I apologize if this has happened to you, I never understand a proposal being rejected. I feel like you should know if the girl wants to marry you or not. When you drop
to her name. Well, that kind of proposal. I thought you meant like a proposal to come see her.
But you get stood up and you put your Facebook status and you put the screenshots. Is this a young buck acting dumb, OG?
Well, I think it is a little bit dumb, but it's also, she's not off the hook here. If she knows the guy's coming into town, just fake it. Just have, you know, dinner with the guy and make sure he knows that it's not going anywhere. And just reacquaint yourself with an old friend because they were old friends, right?
Man.
Just leave
My
it
name
at
is
that.
Mark Ryan.
I could definitely see this happening to someone that I do know.
Not only could I see it happening, it's happened.
The OG John Lopez.
It's happened.
Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. People acting crazy on the phone. So who's the craziest on the phone? Philip Rivers the girl that's just talking bad about a guy and bragging about getting a free meal out of it, or the Facebook status.
Philip Rivers was the craziest. The Yane was the worst. And this chick was, I don't know, not the worst, but not good.
Not good.
Not good.
There we go. People acting a fool. We got to adjust our viewing. There's a lot of sports to watch. Astros got to make a major adjustment. We do as well. Plus the Texans, 1 month away from the season. A lot going on. We'll cap it off next.
I want to call my grandmother.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
It was already a thin bullpen for the Houston Astros. Very young, to say the very least. Now, Roberto Osuna, most experienced member of that bullpen, looks like he's going to be having Tommy John surgery. His season over, his career, I don't want to say over, in jeopardy, because this is the second Tommy John surgery he has had, J-Lo. I think it goes without saying he's not going to play in 2021 because what are we in? We're in August. So he's not going to play in 2021. Maybe he's back in 2022, but he's a free agent after 2021. So there's a very strong chance that Roberto Osuna has thrown his last pitch as a Houston Astro, unless they sign him back in 2022. But he's a free agent after that. And then they'll have to decide there. And who knows? By then, hopefully, one of these young arms emerges as a closer you can trust, and they build on this experience. So not only is Osuna done with this season, if you asked me to make a bet, I would say he's likely never going to pitch for the Houston Astros again.
I don't think that's a stretch. It may not even be a stretch that he pitches, that he never pitches again. Because keep in mind, injury concerns are not the only concerns that teams have with Roberto Osuna. I mean, he's still toxic. You know, the Astros saw it coming. He was suspended 75 games for battery of his, you know, domestic battery. He's had some other issues. He's had Tommy John surgery in the past. A lot of teams would not touch Roberto Osuna with a 10-foot pole. So I think it's not only possible, I think it's likely we could have seen the last of him.
And, I mean, now what do the Astros do now? That's the question that a lot of people are asking. You have Ryan Pressly, who is your best reliever, but, again, this is a guy who he made his debut over the weekend, couldn't get through. He's not quite ready to go. It was a blister on his hand, so they didn't want him to keep throwing. You can't rush him back. You have to be very, very careful with Ryan Pressly. If that means losing a couple games that you would otherwise win with him in there, so be it. But you also are going to have Fernando Rodney in his 40s with his 12th team, likely coming up to the bigs very soon. He's not as good of a closer as Roberto Osuna. There was maybe a time when he was. But I think we're in a situation where we're going to see Blake Taylor, Ryan Pressly, Fernando Rodney, and all these kids closing games. And it means that what was already a stressful experience watching the Astros trying to get to that eighth and ninth, it intensifies even more. And it's basically going to be not trying to get to the eighth or ninth. It's going to be just basically trying to get through the game, which starts tonight in Arizona at 8:10.
Yeah, and don't forget also, I mean, it's one thing to have, you know, kind of piece it together, the back end of the relief rotation in the regular season, even this abbreviated regular season. Whole different world in the postseason because it gets much more intense. You know, certainly the moves become more numerous because of the, you know, the games are even that much more important. And you're going to be facing some really good teams. Right now the Yankees are just they're looking unstoppable.
1-7 straight, 8-1 on the season.
Yeah, and Aaron Judge has had, what, 5 home runs in 6 games, something like that. And so, yeah, the Astros clearly are going to be there. It's just a matter of how they're going to handle it once they get there when it comes to relief pitching.
I mean, you look at what this team was last year and what they are now. You had 2 Cy Young candidates last year. You don't have any because Verlander's gone, and obviously Cole's 3-0 with the Yankees. You had Roberto Osuna, one of the best closers in the game, although it was kind of a roller coaster. He's out for the season. Ryan Pressly was an all-star. He was your best reliever, but Ryan Pressly kind of slow to come back, and your guys aren't really hitting, so you're not hitting as well as you did originally. So it's going to be interesting for the Astros, to say the least. Their playoff odds, according to SportsRadio610.com's Adam Spillane, were, I want to say, 92% today to make the postseason, because first and second place does make it, and then the two teams with the best record after that make the postseason.
Their odds are about the same.
They got to go down, though, with Osuna, right? I mean, this is a guy that – this isn't like a starter once every 5 days where you have to fill that void. I mean, this is a guy who can pitch a few times a week and can win you and seal games. Your odds have to go down a little bit. I'm not saying they're, like, going to tumble
down. Yeah, they're not going to be 70%.
But they go down a little bit.
No, I think they would have to. And you know, the latest odds I saw were after Osuna got the injury, but certainly before today when it became official that he's having – unofficially official that he's having Tommy John surgery.
I mean, I think
– I mean, Dusty Baker literally said he's in my thoughts and prayers. Literally said that.
Yeah, that's not usually a recipe for we'll see him next week or anything. Let me put it this way. That's not a 10-day injured list comment.
No, it's not. It's not. Not
Roberto Osuna possibly has pitched his last game as a Houston Astro. Astros facing, by the way, Madison Bumgarner tonight, the D-backs, 8-10. Of course, we'll have the post-game show on Sports Radio 6. And going to be interesting to see how that 8th and 9th is handled, especially if Blake Taylor's not available today. If Ryan Pressly's not available today, it'll be interesting to see what goes down. 8-10, first pitch, post-game right after. 8 o'clock-ish. On TNT, you're also going to have the Rockets. Rockets right now, they have pretty much avoided the Clippers as a first-round matchup. What exactly are we going to see from the Rockets? What do we really need to see? You would like to see them get up a little bit more in the standings. Right now, they're the four seed, so they would face Utah in the first round. Game and a half out of that three seed for the Denver Nuggets could face the Mavs, could face Oklahoma City and Chris Paul. Seems like there's going to be drama with that first round matchup no matter what. But luckily, that drama is not going to include the Los Angeles Clippers, who I wanted no part of in the first round for the Rockets. They have a pretty comfortable lead now over the Mavericks, who've lost their first two games in the restart, and the Rockets have won their first two.
I think obviously the Blazers have a lot more to play for than the Rockets tonight. If you're the Rockets, I think you're at the point right now where you're just sort of kind of crafting your seeding how you want it to be. You mentioned it. You know, they're at the four. Do they want the Jazz? Do they want, you know, someone else? You know, who could it be? Memphis is taking a tumble right now, so they're not exactly sure.
That's effed up what's happened to them, by the way. I, for my entertainment purposes, I'm enjoying watching it. But when you have like a 3.5 game lead or four or whatever it was of the 8 seed, and you're overachieving as a team, and they rewrote the rules to where if a team's within 3.5, they have to play a play-in series, you got to kind of feel for those young kids in Memphis. That's kind of effed up.
You do. But they've gone from that bigger lead to now they just have a one game lead on Portland and the Spurs as well. And the Pelicans are half a game behind that. I mean, so, yeah, the Grizzlies are like, man, we were in the playoffs. All of a sudden, we're not. So Rockets, Jazz, can they move up? Do they want to face the Thunder? That would be fun for our purposes.
Chris Paul.
With Chris Paul.
Who, by the way, can straight up still hoop, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. He's still got some.
I'm happy with Westbrook, though, but he can still.
There you go. He's still got some game in there, so. I think the Rockets are in a good spot. They can kind of craft how they want to play this.
On the text line, 4053, we're talking about the adjustments that need to be made. Obviously, the Rockets are in a different position than they were heading into the season on Friday in that they don't have to worry about potentially facing the Clippers unless they just completely tumble. And the Astros, no DH tonight in interleague play, and also life without Roberto Osuna, maybe forever. Roberto Osuna probably going to have Tommy John surgery, according to the first doctor he visited with. You could tell that something was wrong. It would be his second Tommy John surgery, and he's a free agent after 2021. So,
Free agent that not all 30 teams are interested in.
Maybe you get him back at a bargain. But by that time, you better hope that you have a closer that you're comfortable with. Hopefully, it could be one of these young kids that we're seeing. Pitch right now, because they're going to have to.
Right.
You're going to have to figure out who the closer is. It could be a closer by committee. I mean, we could see Andre Scrub getting some action. We could see Paredes. We could see Blake Taylor. We could see Fernando Rodney. I don't think I
would. I think you're going to. It's going to have to be that way. That's why it's a little dicey with the offseason. I mean, the postseason now.
It's going to be a revolving door for the Stros. No Roberto Osuna. And that's not good to say the very least.
And no Verlander, of course.
And no Verlander, yeah. Hopefully he doesn't need no TJ. Because
it's been mysteriously quiet, hadn't it?
Well, if Verlander needs that TJ, it's possible that he's probably pitched his last thrown his last pitch for the Astros. Although I could see them re-signing him, but he's making the $25 million or whatever it is next year. He's also a free agent after the 2021 season. So there's a lot of decisions to make.
We said this before the season even began, and it's even more evident now that this is a transition year for the Astros. They are clearly transitioning from the team that we knew in recent history to a team that's going to look totally different in the next year, in the not so distant future.
I think they were transitioning regardless. Now they're having to adjust. I mean, they're losing.
It's just happening quicker.
They're losing. They lost their best starter. They're losing arguably. Well, I'd say Presley's better than Osuna, but one of their best and most important relievers. So, man, it's going to be interesting to see the Stros. If they can just fight it out and get in the playoffs and maybe make some noise, I think you got to adjust your expectations and be proud of what's going on with this Astros squad. But, man, Roberto Osuna rushes back, and now all of a sudden Roberto Osuna likely has thrown his last pitch as a Houston Astro. Definitely has this year if the first doctor is right and you need Tommy John surgery. People on the text line saying they don't trust Roberto Osuna to rehab effectively based on how he came into shape, the shape he came into.
That's fair. Fat? Well, I mean, he's big. That's fair. And I think it's also fair because I had a couple texters say, are you sure he would do that to the Astros? You know, if he feels like that he was mishandled and rushed to return, that he would turn on them and, you know, maybe even bring, you know, legal action. And that's way down the road.
It's so just, dramatic.
That's what they said.
And John, like, is so dramatic.
And I'm like, is that dramatic or is that accurate?
I mean, that could be a players union situation.
Exactly.
But this is the thing, and this is how I think it works with athletes. And you've covered athletes longer than I. But a lot of time, even if you're not ready, even if Dusty Baker says Roberto Osuna is not ready 2 days before the season, he's throwing some long toss, we need to get him off of a mound. Even if you're not ready, a lot of times a player will say, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. And it's the manager's responsibility to say, no, you're not, and keep him off of the field. Again, I don't want to sit here and blame Dusty Baker for Roberto Osuna getting hurt. I just know that Dusty Baker had a reputation as a guy. A lot of people blame him for Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor, who's now the pitching coach for the Dodgers, for their arms basically falling off when they were the best tandem that we'd seen in a long time with the Cubs. They blame Dusty Baker for wearing their asses out.
Yeah.
That was his reputation. That was a reputation that he earned for three decades before he came here. You see Roberto Osuna not ready to go, and then all of a sudden he's throwing multiple innings of high-pressure baseball against the Dodgers. And look, I get it, baseball people, that he only threw eight pitches in that first inning.
It's the getting ready.
Pressure situation.
And it's the ramping up.
Eight pitches for a closer is not the same as eight pitches for a starter. You got the adrenaline flowing. You're basically letting it out. You're airing it out in those eight pitches. Then you go sit down. Then you have to go back out there and ask your arm to do it again.
Right.
It's like this. Like, if I asked you to sprint, like if you went to the gym and I said, all right, sprint as fast as you can down the line or whatever. If you sprint and then you stop and you sit down for 4 minutes and you just completely aired it out, when you get up, the chances of pulling something are going to be a lot more significant than they would be if you just sat down and then got to rest on it. That's what it's like when a closer goes out there for two innings. That's why you don't see it very often. You see it in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see closers throw multiple innings very often. And we saw Roberto Osuna do it a week after we didn't even think he was going to be ready to play. And oh, by the way, it was his second appearance. And oh, by the way, he was back on the mound a couple days later. And oh, by the way, that's when he looked at the dugout and said, my forearm hurts.
Yeah. And you know, the point here is not that it's a shortened season, not that everybody's having to ramp up, quickly as pitchers. It's not any of that. It's that, did he feel as if Dusty Baker rushed him? There are pieces of evidence around baseball, to be honest, that managers are rushing pitchers back, that the ramp up period was not adequate enough. Dusty Baker himself said it. Spring training forever has been 6 weeks for a reason, because it takes that long.
This is a possibility that I think the Astros should possibly look into, because for the last few years with the trades the Astros have made, we've been saying for a long time, they can't trade Forrest Whitley. You know, Forrest Whitley is a guy that was once the number one prospect in baseball. You can't trade Forrest Whitley. Forrest Whitley's not even on the team, and they got 10 damn rookies.
Yeah.
So maybe Forrest Whitley needs a change of scenery, and maybe this is finally the time where, with the trade deadline approaching, you have 27 days, maybe this is a time where another team will look at the past potential of Forrest Whitley, and maybe the Astros can find someone that's going to be their closer, not just this year, but maybe moving forward. Maybe there's a team that's willing to sell a closer because they're not in the mix, and maybe the Astros can get rid of Forrest Whitley and maybe bring in a closer that can replace Roberto Osuna and maybe be the guy in 2021 and maybe be the guy after that. I think that's something to keep an eye on as the end of the month and the trade deadline approaches. Maybe this is finally the time where it makes sense to trade Forrest Whitley.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he doesn't have the value that he's had the last few years, but maybe you can trade him and you can bring in a closer to replace Roberto Osuna. I think that's something that they need to entertain.
Well, they need to entertain it no matter what. I mean, they need to entertain whether it's Forrest Whitley or any of their other prospects. And also keep in mind, not to like all of a sudden, you know, bring everybody down here, because this thought just occurred to me. Their minor league system has been depleted in the last couple of years too.
A little bit. I like the depth that I see right now, but I got to wonder if Forrest Whitley wouldn't be a guy that someone else would look at and say, okay, well, I can get the most of this guy. I can get it done. And the Astros having all the young arms that they're encouraged about, including the one that's on the bump tonight, Christian Javier, maybe they entertain the possibility of trading Forrest Whitley, because you're not going to see Roberto Osuna this year, and you're likely not going to see him next year, and you might never see him again with the in an Astros uniform. 8:10 first pitch tonight, postgame right after. Rockets at 8 o'clock. We're going to react to that tomorrow. Texans, football season begins next month. You heard from Randall Cobb. You heard from Whitney Merciless. Thanks to them. Thanks to John McClain. Tomorrow on the show, Well-Spoken Wednesday with Stanford Rout. Also going to preview the Texans season with Wade Smith. My goodness. A lot of stuff happening.
Who doesn't love here. Wade?
My gosh.
Everybody loves
Who
Wade.
Who doesn't love Wade?
Let Everyone loves
that.
Wade.
Let me think about that. I'll
Even though
that
he threw
you.
Me under the bus.
He did throw you under the bus. Kind of said you're a little bit creepy.
No.
But
no.
Right.
You know Lopez. He's a lightweight kind of creepy guy.
No.
All right, going to be interesting. Roberto Osuna out for the year, likely done as a Houston Astro. We'll react to the two-piece tomorrow. We'll look ahead to the Texans season. We'll hear from Stan and Wade. Shout out to the Loopholes, by the way. Most important part of this show. No matter what you do, if you listen, you are a Loophole. Radio.com, old school, we don't care. We love you very much. We always love the feedback. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. I'll talk to you tonight on the postgame show. But in the meantime, Ron the Show Hughley and Clint Sterner are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.